For our scripture reading, we turn to Psalm 86, the versification of which we just sang. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, begin at verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast opened me and comforted me. So far we read from Holy Scripture. This passage and all of Scripture are the basis for the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 51. There we read, which is the fifth petition, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. Even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this psalm speaks to us a number of times about how God cares for our souls. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we think about how he nourishes our soul. And in this Psalm 86, we ask God to preserve our soul. In verse 2, In verse 4, we ask him to rejoice our soul. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. In verse 13, we say that God has delivered our soul. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. In this psalm, we speak of God's care for our soul, the care he has shown to us in the past. We think on, we thank him for, and we continue to look to him. As we say here, I cry unto thee daily, be merciful to me. Which goes along with this Lord's Day, where right after asking for our daily bread, we ask God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That petition goes well with the Lord's Supper. A request for forgiveness. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? What does that mean? The first thing it says in the answer, Lord's Day 28, is this, that it means to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin. That we see how we drink of the poured out blood, partake of the broken body of Christ. We're embracing the sufferings. We're embracing the death of Christ and thereby obtain the pardon of sin by faith. And in this petition, we are asking by faith God to forgive us our debts. It speaks of the ongoing request for forgiveness, which goes with the Lord's Supper. Baptism, when we think about baptism, we think about the fact that without our knowledge, we're received into grace. We received in Jesus Christ, we are engrafted into him. We receive the blessings that are found in Christ without our knowledge. We're forgiven, washed, cleansed, sanctified. Baptism happens once, picturing that idea that we're brought into him once. The Lord's Supper is repeated. And it brings out the idea that we're constantly going to him, asking for forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, even as we sing this psalm, that we sing it again and again. We ask God to be merciful to us. We come to the one who is ready to forgive, as we say in verse 5, plenteous in mercy. Again and again, we come to the forgiving of God. Again and again, we partake of the blessings by faith that are found in Christ Jesus our Lord. So before we come to the Lord's Supper, we consider this petition, and we consider it under the theme, Coming to the Forgiving God. We consider, first of all, to whom we come. There's a reference in the psalm, Among the gods there is none like unto thee. We're coming to the forgiving God. We consider, first of all, to whom we come. Secondly, what we request. And thirdly, what we obtain. Coming to the forgiving God. In verse 8, when it says, Among their gods there is none like unto thee, we think about the gods that others go to. In what do men trust? That's their God. You think of all the different things that people place their trust in. Not only bowing down to visible pieces of wood and stone, but we think of the things that men place their trust in themselves and in objects. Whom are they serving? You know, in the Tenth Commandments, it says, don't bow down to them nor serve them. Well, who do people serve? We live in the midst of the world, and where the people of the world, to whom do they serve? Whom do they bow down to and serve? Whom are they really worshiping? When they feel guilty, where do they go? To whom do they turn? To what do they turn? When they know they've done things that are contrary to God's law, where do they go? Only the true God forgives and gives peace and joy. He's the only one that when you turn to him, confess your sins, he forgives us. That's brought out in this psalm when it says, among the gods, there's none like unto thee. He's the one that's good, ready to forgive, and attends to the voice of our supplications. Only the true God does that. These are blessings found only in Jesus Christ. Only in him will we find and enjoy forgiveness, peace. Only he delivers from death. This idea, among the gods, there's none like unto thee, that is similar language that's used in Exodus. Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And then it talks about how he stretched forth his hand and redeemed his people. He delivered them. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. What God can deliver your soul and mine from the lowest hell? The true God does that. He has delivered us. We praise him, thinking about how he has delivered us. He has forgiven us. Only the true God works in your heart and mine. In verse 11, we say, unite my heart to fear thy name. Who can do that? Who can actually work in someone's heart? The gods that the world turns to cannot do that. Only Jehovah God works in our heart, unites our heart to fear his name, the true God. Only the true God gives strength. In verse 16, we say, give thy strength unto thy servant. Only the true God gives us strength. That's the one to whom we're coming. He's ready to forgive. And we look specifically at that. We come to God conscious of the fact that he will forgive us. We just sang about that too. Ready to forgive thou art. We come to the one that we know forgives us for Christ's sake. be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood. For Christ's sake, he will forgive us. He doesn't clear the guilty. He declared that, see, to Moses, by no means clearing the guilty. Those who reject him are not forgiven. God spoke about how his face is against them and how they'd have fears, the fear of knowing that God is against them. That kind of fear. God does not clear the guilty, but he does forgive sorrowing sinners, repentant sinners. We come today as those who are repentant. We examine ourselves, we consider our sins and the curse that we deserve, and we consider what Christ went through, what we deserved and what Christ went through. His body was broken, his blood was shed, and we are purposing to glorify him. We're repentant. We're sorry. We confess our sins. We sing in the Psalms, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. We come as those who are confessing our sins, specific sins, not only in general that we say forgive our sins, forgive our debts, but specific things. Also, we ask God to forgive us. We're coming to the God whom we believe, whom we know, whom we have no doubt really forgives those who are sorrowing. Sorrowing sinners who show that they're sorrowing. Repentance shows genuine sorrow. Asking others to forgive us shows sorrow. Oh, how important that is. How important it is when we sin against one another that we ask for forgiveness. And how often it happens that people fall into a trend in which when they sin against other people, they just move on. Maybe the next time they'll see them, they'll be nicer. But they don't ask for forgiveness. Repentance shows itself when we're really sorry. It shows itself when we do go to one another. We confess when we know that we've sinned against a brother. We know we've sinned against a sister. We know we've done things that we shouldn't have done. Repentance is shown in the fact that we ask others to forgive us. And we know that even if it be that a person doesn't forgive us, even if we're asking somebody to forgive us who himself refuses, God forgives us. God forgives us again and again. We've sinned against God. The God to whom we come forgives sins. When we come to him, the request that we make to him, there are a number of places in the Psalms that we describe ourselves as lifting up our soul. In verse 4, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? When we come to him in prayer, asking God to forgive us, we lift up our soul. We say that also in the Lord's Supper when we administer it. Lift up our soul. It's important to think of that, lifting up our soul. It's important to think about what are we thinking about. Our thoughts are to be on heavenly things. Lift up our soul. Think about the things that God signifies to us in the Lord's Supper. Think about what we're requesting when we pray. And to pray with confidence. We say that repeatedly. Thou wilt answer me. I will call upon thee in the day of my trouble, for thou wilt answer me. We pray with confidence for the things that God's promised, and the things that God's promised we make known are the things we desire. What is the desire of one who sings this psalm? What's the desire of somebody who prays this petition? What's the desire of somebody who partakes of the Lord's Supper? The one who prays this partition, what he desires is to be forgiven. Do not impute, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute, that to impute is to be charged with something, not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. When we pray this prayer, we're asking God not to impute to us our transgressions, our sinful thoughts, words, and actions, and also our sinful nature, which always cleaves to us. That's the desire of one who prays the fifth petition. What's the desire of the one who sings Psalm 86? It's for forgiveness. He mentions it repeatedly. He mentions the struggles that he's going through, the trials that he's going through, how God has delivered him in the past, and how he wants deliverance in the future. And while he's asking for deliverance, he's thinking about his sins. He's thinking about how God in his love chastens him for his sins. And we ask God repeatedly, forgive us. We think about how God is merciful. We believe he's merciful, and we ask him to forgive me. We ask him to do something within us. We think of how God does these things in his people, and then we ask him to do it in me. Do it in me. Rejoice my soul. Give me the peace of forgiveness. Give me the joy and the comfort that only comes from God. We ask God to unite our heart. Teach me, as we just sang, teach me with undivided heart to trust thy truth, thy name to fear. We want him to do something inside us. What's the desire of somebody that partakes of the Lord's Supper? We want him to do something inside of us. We're wanting God to work in us. We eat and drink him. We want to experience the peace of the pardon of sin. We want him to work in us so that we're more united. It goes on in Lord's Day 28, and it says it also means we're more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost who dwells both in Christ and us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. When we eat and drink him, we think of being flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. What does that mean? It goes on. It means we live and are governed forever by one Spirit as members of the same body are by one soul. That's what we say in the Lord's Supper form, too. The Lord's Supper speaks about the same kind of language. It's important to pay attention to what happens within us. What is it that we want to happen inside us? The same language is used about the Holy Spirit, that we by the same quickening Spirit who dwelleth in Christ and as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings, life eternal, righteousness and glory, the ongoing partaking of those blessings. Besides, that we by the same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. We want him to work inside us, that we might grow in our love for God and our love for one another. That's the desire of one who partakes of the Lord's Supper. When we ask for forgiveness, we ask for it daily. That indicates that we're constantly in need of forgiveness. It's important for us to think of that we constantly need forgiveness. There are those that say, you know, you only have to ask once. You don't have to keep asking God to forgive you. You ask him to forgive you, and he forgives you, and it's done. But God teaches us constantly to come to him. It's true that a person who is engrafted into Christ receives by the bond of faith the blessings that are found in Christ even without their knowledge. God also tells us that we're constantly to come to him confessing our sins, believing that he's faithful and just to forgive us. We're constantly to ask that. And then we constantly enjoy that blessing. When we're constantly coming to him, we're constantly sinning against him. So we constantly come to him and ask him. And then we add that phrase, as we forgive our debtors. God teaches us to add that phrase. Doesn't mean that every time we pray, we have to say the precise words of the Lord's Prayer. We know that. We learn the principles of the Lord's Prayer. We don't, every time we pray, simply say the Lord's Prayer and nothing else. But there are principles here. When God teaches us to ask him to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, now we acknowledge, we confess what the Scriptures teach about the fact that one who is not forgiving, you know, isn't forgiven. I mean, God says that. In fact, right after the Lord's Prayer, he teaches the Lord's Prayer. He goes back to that idea that's mentioned here. At the very end of the Lord's Prayer, after he says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, the next verses are going back to this petition. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men your trespasses, if you don't forgive them, neither will your Father forgive yours, your trespasses. We confess that God says that. That's really true. Mark 11 says, verse 25 and 26, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. When you stand praying, forgive. If you've got aught against anybody, forgive. That your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's Mark 11, 25 and 26. We believe that. The scriptures tell us that. When we pray this petition, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, we are saying, when we're really praying this, we are firmly resolved from the heart to forgive our neighbor. And we confess that's God's work in us. We say, even as I feel, we don't shy away from using the word feel. There are things that we experience. The point is that what we experience is things that the scriptures tell us we experience. And we understand what the Spirit is doing. The Spirit guides us in the scriptures to understand what He does within us. And we say, we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is. It's our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. You know, in self-examination, when we go through the preparatory part, the self-examination part in that Lord's Supper form, it speaks about the fact that we've laid aside all hatred, envy. We're firmly resolved to walk in true love and peace with our neighbor. We come to the Lord's Supper as those who say, what's in here? We feel this evidence of God's grace. He's the one that worked that in us. That it is. It really is our firm resolution. From the heart. It's not fake. From the heart. To forgive our neighbor. That's what we mean. That's what we confess when we pray this petition. And we obtain the forgiveness that we seek as Lord's Day 28 says, eating and drinking Him by faith, with a believing heart, thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal. We do obtain that. That God continues to cause us to enjoy that peace of forgiveness. We keep coming to Him. He forgives us. We obtain the pardon of sin. The comfort of knowing that we have the right to eternal life. We keep coming to Him and He keeps granting that. He grants us peace. He grants us joy so that we have peace with God. We know we're righteous in Christ. What a peace, what a joy to think of it, that God sees us as righteous in His Son. As if I had accomplished all that obedience which Christ accomplished in my place. He grants us that peace. He rejoices our soul. That's good to think of that too. You know, that's illustrated in the Lord's Supper too, the idea that we drink the wine and we think of the joy, gladdening our heart. Does not God work in your heart that gladness? He answers our prayer. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. And in our trials, even when we are in difficult trials, and our life is constantly one of trials, as we sing in the Psalms, we go through them, and we do have joy. We know that our Father is in control. We know He loves us. He's shown us His great love. We know He's teaching us with undivided heart, with united heart, to fear Him, to trust Him, to believe His word. He grants us peace. He grants us joy in our soul. He grants us that we're more united to Him. You know, the Lord's Day 28 says, besides this, it's to become more and more united. More and more. We receive that. We're to think of that, too, when we partake, that our desire is and that God grants us that we become more and more united to His sacred body. Partaking of His body, we're more and more united to His body. Governed by His Spirit, just like members of the same body are by one soul. We're to think about that as we read the form, Lord willing, in a moment, to think about the blessings God says we obtain from the forgiving God, from the merciful God. We come to Him with confidence, confidence He's worked in our soul. We come to Him by faith, partaking, believing. Praise Him. Turn to Him. Trust Him and be nourished in your soul. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Thy word of truth. We are thankful for Thy forgiveness. We are thankful for Thy mercy. Lord, nourish our souls. Strengthen us in the inner man. Grant us the blessings that we seek. May we live to Thy glory and honor, and may Thy name be praised by us and all Thy people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.